DanVarl.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and I'm here with Scott, our contributing editor for the site and graphic designer. Say hi, Scott.
Hello. I mean, hi.
And then we also have Ian, who's a contributor for the site. How's it going, Ian?
Not bad. Hello, everybody.
And then we have Chris, who is also a contributor, newly. See how that works out since we're doing probationary periods for a lot of writers. Chris is one of them, doing very well for us so far. How's it going, Chris?
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
So, the big news today is going to be the Tron Legacy. For everyone listening, you want to stay tuned to the end because we'll have a Boondock Saints contest update. You might see the site for that. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But let's get to the big news for today was the Tron Legacy site. Scott, I know you probably saw a good amount of that. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, no, it's one of those things to where because of the giant bang that this, you know, the viral had out in Comic-Con, it was one of those sites that you just kind of hung on to hoping that something would happen to it. And, you know, it delayed a little bit, you know, a little here and there with some countdowns and things like that. But the newest thing that showed up today is, you know, it's gotten everyone's attention because it's not normal. It's not just a simple little update to a site. It's this hidden link that was brought on by, you know, some strange delivery. That once you go there, you know, the link that you click on, the, you know, 0 hour is just as odd. It doesn't make a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. So it automatically grabs you. It's not just a small update. It's just something that, you know, gets you going a little bit further.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's the what happened was that it was actually a reader of ComingSoon.net, not even the site, had gotten this package where it was this Red Star, which is apparently from the original movie, which I haven't seen personally. But the it's from that, and it and on the box it had /0 hour, and so they figured out that it was actually from the if you put it to the end of one of the viral sites that already existed. Flynn Lives and that .com, then you realize it brings you up this really weird kind of I'm not even sure what to describe it as.
To me it almost looks like the old James Bond kind of, you know, game that it's just the whole grid with the yeah. diamonds and the starry type shapes and everything like that just kind of flicker back and forth and don't really do anything except get your attention.
Yeah, but apparently it's a code for a countdown. Mm-hmm. And so what that is, the countdown is supposedly going towards February 24th, and then that's the big question is what does that mean? And of course everyone's saying that it might be a new trailer, because the only trailer they actually had is just that test footage from the from Comic-Con, actually, from that time period. And so they actually haven't had a full-on trailer. So this is, so hopefully at least, that might be the day that we have a trailer.
Yeah, I mean, with the release too, they've had a couple, you know, the release of the new Jeff Bridges picture and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's possible. You know, I don't know how exciting that would be to a lead up to something, you know, viral of just a plain old trailer. But who knows? Maybe the trailer will give you a little bit more on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, for people who are really excited about that kind of movie, at least, I mean, I think that they just want to see more footage. I mean, just from the footage from Comic-Con, it was really cool. And if they can do a lot of that, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It just better be a trailer and nothing below that or just like a new poster or anything. No, it's gotta be something bigger than a trailer, yeah. I think. So.
Yeah, hopefully it's something. I mean, I think for some people, a trailer may be enough for them. Definitely nothing less, you're right. I mean, if it's something where it's a new picture, I don't imagine they'd be doing that. It seems like a waste of time. But yeah, I mean, the trailer may seem, it better be a good trailer. I mean, I know for Iron Man, a lot of people were really excited about Iron Man, so that's something where you could have a viral that, like they did, they had that kind of viral thing where it was just leading up to just a trailer. But there's so much, I don't know, there really isn't that kind of, you know, foaming at the mouth waiting for a Tron Legacy teaser than there was for the Iron Man, you know what I mean?
Must be the older generation, because I can't wait to see Tron Legacy. I loved the original, but I'm maybe that bit older, but I loved it. But I'm kind of wondering if it's going to play out like Inception, because you've had the trailer and then you've had the very slow viral. Well, we've had one viral site so far, and I'm wondering if it's going to sort of end up like that, just a slow, because it's got, what, it comes out in December, so it's got a long time to go still.
Oh, it's got plenty of time, and then you're sitting there looking at it too. I mean, February 24th was the date, right?
Right.
That's a Wednesday.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's, I don't know. I just happened to see what's going on with that date. I don't know. I don't think it's a trailer. Something tells me it's not going to be. Yeah, I don't know.
You never know.
So,
well,
what if it's a new game?
Well, the game is coming out too, but we've already seen some footage of the game and stuff, so.
Yeah.
The only thing that's better than a new trailer is a little Flash game that you can spend a few hours on.
Very cool. I mean, obviously, you know, the whole movie is about a game. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to go that route. I mean, they had the whole viral, when they did the Comic-Con thing, they had the actual Flynn's Arcade and everything. And I really could see them doing something where they try to put more games into it, which would be kind of cool. It makes it more interactive, which is always nice.
Oh, that works for it. You play a game in order to get to the trailer.
You could do that too. I mean, it could be something like that where you have to you still have to do something else. Who knows? I mean, it's 42 Entertainment is the company behind it, behind the whole viral campaign. So, and a lot of people know them from Dark Knight. What else have they done? That's the one that everyone remembers them from.
Right.
So that's kind of their claim to fame, and they're really good at that. And everyone kind of, you know, deifies the Dark Knight viral campaign. So hopefully that means that they'll do good with this one too. It's such a new medium that it's to have any kind of establishment being like, oh, you know, these guys are good at this. That's kind of hard to have. So, cause it's such a new medium, new marketing concept. So, you know, who knows? Everyone has to have a blunder. So you never know.
True.
So, next big thing coming, you know, movie that actually comes out around the same time as this maybe trailer comes out, The Crazies. You've been talking about that. That's the current newest movie that has a complete viral campaign that we've been covering. So we've had a lot of updates lately with that. One of the big things you may have seen on the site is I actually got in the mail this really cool little fake file that says confidential on it. It's actually for an invitation to a screening. But what's cool about it is that, I mean, it has like the fake blood on the front of it, and it has this little letter inside that's from a staff writer at the Pierce County Gazette. It's really cool. I mean, it's like, it has the pictures, which you guys see on the site, the black and white pictures, which show the military being in town. And it's just really cool to even get something like this. But, I mean, would you guys, you know, think of this little package if you guys actually saw it?
It would be just the silliest thing if it was realistic in any sense.
It's not. I mean, if you can look at the site and it's not, no one thinks that it's going to be real. I mean, even the file's small, like the file's not even a full paper. It's like about maybe 7 or 8 inches long. It's like not even a full size thing, but it doesn't have to be, obviously.
No, it's just throws in that little extra, you know, obviously the military's involved with the film. So it throws in that little extra step of,
yeah,
creating a new form of viral. You know, granted, it's not public type of viral because it's sent out, you know, for a screening and everything, but
yeah,
but even still, it just throws in a new layer.
It's just really cool. And then have something tangible is always the best way to go. I think when we were talking to Mike from Campfire about that, you know, I think he mentioned something about that, how tangible stuff's really nice.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's better than just a website. But these pictures,
if you look back at it too, most of the stuff that starts is, you know, it's something that you get in your hands. It's not,
right,
you know.
It makes it more personal. It makes more, you know. These pictures are just so cool. And the one thing that you mentioned, Scott, actually, about the pictures, the first one that's in the list, not that you actually mentioned, was all the bodies on the carts.
Yeah.
And the guy, the one at the very, very end, is actually looking at the camera.
It looks like a woman, and it very well could be Judy, you know, the cop's wife, Rhoda Mitchell there. It looked like it could be her. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to jump into that, but it looks like it could be.
I doubt it's that far.
You know, very similar. But yeah, it's just kind of creepy that here's all these, you know, somewhat dead people, possibly dead people on all these benches, and, you know, and then here's this one in the far back corner just staring directly at the camera.
Yeah.
Gives you that, you know, creepy feel.
I didn't even notice that until you mentioned it. I was like, oh my God, that is so messed up. But these are really cool. And then the Pierce County Gazette is something that we haven't actually heard about. I mean, the Ogden Marsh site, there's actually the talk of the other Gazette, the Ogden Marsh Gazette.
The Ogden Marsh Gazette, right.
But there's never talk of a Pierce County Gazette. So you think that's maybe a mistake, or is that something maybe you think it'll lead up to something?
I mean, it could. I mean, a lot can happen. But I think at this point, we might be, if anything, we're still waiting for, you know, the 4-code password on the DP chemicals there. I know we got the voicemail password or the email password, but
right,
there's still the protocol passwords and everything, which is 4 digits. So something could happen at this point. I mean, the movie's coming out next week, so I think they're probably going to spend more time busting out TV spots than they are updating viral. But yeah. You never know, because, I mean, 2012 kicked out a few big viral changes right at the very end of their campaign, too. So, I mean, a lot can still happen within a week. So.
Yeah, so you never know.
I just don't see that page being left out without knowing that password.
I would hope so, yeah. You never know, but I mean, and you actually mentioned it yourself. They were the ones that reached out to you too. You mentioned how they made some mistakes in their viral though.
Oh sure, yeah, and I, you know, it's, you know, it happens. People catch it, and you know, I mean, that wasn't the main viral, I guess, marketing campaign, too. It was, you know, a little bit of a different branch that kind of jumps on board of, you know, every now and then they look at certain films and they create little things that have to do with it. If they're environmental type films. Then, you know, they'll create these viral campaigns as well. So, But nope, very cool. They were, they said that there's some stuff coming. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't want to get too involved, but they told me, I questioned them on some stuff and they said, nope, that still is going to come into play. So keep That's your good. Eyes open.
It's always good to know. Is there any other kind of updates with that? I know we've been kind of waiting, at least since this week, there hasn't been anything.
No, I mean, I think, some of the stuff, you know, the truth about Trixie and things like that came out. There's a couple blog spots that came up.
That Trixie site's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Trixie site's cool visually. It looks really good. I like the backgrounds and stuff like that. There's a Facebook page for her name completely slipped me there.
The main woman?
Yeah, the Save Ogden Marsh there. You know, she's got the Facebook page. She accepted finally. And it's weird. Exactly. It seems very real. It doesn't look like the typical, you know, page. I don't know. It's hard to explain unless you're, you know, part of her, you know, friendship or anything like that. It just seems odd. You know, she just updates her pictures and friends people. So that's about it. You know, so
yeah,
it's weird. So
that's always
interesting. Something could happen.
Yeah, their Twitter page and stuff like that too. I mean,
yeah, lots of Twitter pages and things like that. So. I don't know.
I always find it interesting whenever they do pages, especially like the Twitter pages and stuff, and they don't update them like with real stuff. They just update them with like kind of regular things. I always find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, like Surrogates was that kind of a thing. It was all about, you know, Sony's robots and Honda and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, wow, I guess you're not really going to tweet anything about the movie. So, all
right. Yeah, they do know. Yeah, they had the one. Yeah, because they were talking about all the different like robotics updates that are actual news events, which I was like, okay, thanks for wasting my time.
Exactly, and most of her tweets are all, you know, about chemical, you know, plants and
same concept,
DuPont and stuff like that. So yes, basically the same. It just, you know, which is cool because it gives you that, you know, fear type feeling because they're playing with something that's real.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I think, and just from everything I've seen, the movie itself looks like it'll be pretty exciting to watch. You know,
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll definitely be fun. Do you guys have anything to comment on it, Chris or Ian?
Oh, Jordan, yeah, you don't want my comments.
Okay.
I was just guessing a bit of tweets and things, just like Scott said. I like it when they sort of tie it into the real world, as if to kind of remind you that, you know, this is maybe kind of happening round about you. You know, they always say like science fiction is based on science.
Right.
So, I always kind of like that about it.
Very interesting. So the other movie that we've had some updates on recently is Repo Man, and that's a movie where it's hard. I wouldn't say it's a complete viral campaign yet, but they definitely have that really cool viral site. The name of it now escapes
me.
Unicares. And that's actually the company that you know. The premise of the movie is that it's in the future, and now they've actually been able to make organ parts that are like completely real, you know, good, there's no problems with them or anything, but they cost a lot of money, and so now here's a, you know, company that makes them, and the premise of the movie is that Jude Law's character is someone who goes, if you can't make your payments on one of your devices inside of you, he goes and he collects it from you, and a really cool concept. It's kind of vaguely, from my understanding, there's a Repo Men, the opera or something like that.
Repo,
the genetic opera, I think it's called. And so it's kind of vaguely based on that. But it's a really cool concept. And so, you know, Unicare is the company that actually makes them. And so, Ian, you want to talk about the site a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the Union Cares, it's kind of like an online catalogue of all these artifogs, or artifogs, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but yeah, basically all your sort of artificial lungs, like your hearts, etc. You know, the prices are absolutely extortionate, but, you know, the Union Cares, so they offer you a sort of credit, you know, payment plan. Obviously, it doesn't really tell you too much about what will happen if you fall behind on your payments, but as a site goes, it seems okay. It's quite close to the Surrogates website. That was my only one concern, but obviously this has still got a bit of time to you know, kick in, I'm not too worried yet, but just tells you a bit about quite a lot of cool videos on it as well, you know, adverts for, you know, not only like the Union, but also, you know, like a Coke advert, things like that. So it's a pretty tidy little website, and also there's a careers opportunity page. I think there's a couple of people have applied for that, but as yet not heard anything back yet. Still waiting for my Stark Industries interview as well.
I don't think you're picked.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, that was pretty cool website. And also they've had that, well, they've got that competition running as well. The Outrun the Repo Men competition with Wired as well, which that kind of thing is pretty good. I really like campaigns that take it into the real world, and I don't think you can get much realer than that. I don't know if you've seen anything about it, but Wired magazine done something fairly similar with one of the staff writers, Evan Ratcliffe.
Yeah, I read the article. It's a really good article.
Yeah, so like he was sort of charged with creating a fake identity and sort of hiding in plain sight. And if he managed to get to 30 days, he won, I think it was $10,000 or something like that. He managed to get to 25 days until someone caught him. They're doing something really similar with a repo man. I don't know if anyone in the site has applied for it. I'd really be interested to find out if anyone did, so you should definitely leave a comment there and let us know how you got on. Plug there. But I love that kind of thing, honestly. Anything that takes it into the real world and, you know, gets a bit of participation from everybody, I love. So far so good, but you know, we'll see what comes.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the site alone is awesome. If you go on there, you'll see some of the videos they've made, like the commercials, and they're just so good. I mean, it's just they're kind of funny because you're like, you know, they're trying to sell you on the idea of like, oh, this person wouldn't have had to die if he had bought, you know, our organs. And it's really, you're right, it reminds me a lot of the Surrogates. It's definitely a little bit more intensive, I think. It has more things on it. But it's a very similar concept because those are both movies about where, you know, you're using machinery to help you live. So the idea of trying to sell that as a lifestyle is definitely very similar to the sites. But it's a well done site. And then,
yeah,
I really like
it. I mean, the cool thing too about it, I mean, you compare it to like the Surrogates. Surrogates was an all about, you know, a whole all about us kind of a website. You know, take a tour of our company. This is what we do. And this one makes it more realistic by throwing in those ads, you know, that have nothing to do with it. I mean, they have the Jack Cola and the Mega Mattress ad. They have nothing to do with the site, just like every other site that you go to that you're looking at an ad that has nothing to do with it. So it makes it more of a realistic look.
Yeah, I've been really wanting to see if they do something with that Jack Cola. That's something I really noticed when I was looking at it. I'm like, this is really cool. Like I wonder if this means anything or if this is going to go towards anything. Maybe it's in the movie or something. I don't know. It's a really cool concept.
It could be, you know, the new Slusho.
Yeah, exactly.
They made a new opposite kind of website where it's against it?
No, it's a good point, though. The idea that, it's something that we've seen in almost every viral campaign, the idea that there's some organization that's... I could see that because Ian mentioned the fact alone that they don't tell you exactly what's going to happen if you don't pay. So there might be a site that does that where, you know, it's like, oh, you know, be careful what happens if you don't make your payments. You know, this will happen to you. And so, like, there could be an advocacy group that's against it or at least trying to get the information out there that to be like, hey, if you don't make your payments, they're going to come and cut it out of you.
Like for Multinational United, there was MNU spreads lies. And right. For...
Tidal Wave for...
Skynet Industries or whatever it was, and then there's the resistance.
I think that was my day three of the 12 days of viral. I think three websites.
Yeah,
The website about the company, you got the website against the company, and then you have a website that doesn't really do anything. So.
Yeah, so that's something to see. I mean, and this is, you know, a great opportunity for that, especially because anytime you're having a site where they're really trying to gloss over it, you know, they're trying to make it seem beautiful and amazing and easy and, you know, just like a company really should be doing. So when you have that kind of thing, it's just asking to have someone have some sort of, you know, advocacy site that's against it or something. I'd be really interesting to see if they do that. It's kind of late. I think, what is it, beginning of April is when it comes out. So you still have some time, but I don't know if they're going to go that far into it. It's hard to tell sometimes these viral campaigns how deep they're going to go. You know, District 9, you could tell pretty early that they were going to go pretty deep. 2012, you could tell pretty early. Not early, but you could tell at a certain point that, you know, when it was going to become really, really thick. I mean, I don't think I thought 2012 was going to go crazy at first. I didn't realize it was going to be to the extent that it was, at least not early on. So, but it had a lot of time, whereas this one doesn't really, because the beginning of April is coming pretty soon. But just site is just really cool. So, you know, the whole Wired magazine thing they're doing is pretty awesome. I read the article actually a couple weeks ago from the original one. And it was just, I was amazed by it. Like, it's so cool, like how hard it was for him to do that. You know, so how many people were actually out for him. I was pretty amazed.
It's funny. The more generic it looks, the creepier it is. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, he says, it looks like they're selling you into the Borg every time I read that site. It really does.
Well, it's, you know, it is artificial parts in your body, so
yeah.
Eventually that'll be the way to go. I remember reading something about that, or watching a video about some guy who actually thought that the idea of the Borg was a good one, that we should all try to reach it. I was like, wow.
Oh, I saw that too. This crazy guy.
It's kind of creepy.
Doesn't mean you wouldn't do it.
I know, I would do it. Hell, man. It's weird though, everyone gets to read your thoughts, you know? Like, that's not really what I want. Because everyone has a collective mind, so you wouldn't be able to have personal thoughts. Who'd want that?
Exactly. Who'd want that when you're in the middle of the elevator right next to a beautiful woman?
Exactly.
Wouldn't want to know what you're thinking.
Or Scott when he's drinking his wine in his box.
Champagne in a can.
Champagne in a can.
It was Francis Ford Coppola's too.
There you go. If it's good enough for him. So the other, maybe our last kind of movie thing to talk about is Batman. The Dark Knight, obviously, we mentioned before, had a really big campaign, viral campaign. So anytime there's any Batman news, we're always interested in what it could be. One of the first things we heard about was David Goyer, who's the executive producer for Flash Forward, which also has a viral. He actually is leaving the show to work on other projects, which could include Batman and some other things that he's been working on. And that's
actually, bad idea.
And that's pretty interesting, actually, just because of the fact that Flash Forward like has been trading off executive producers for a while now. So this new one that they'll have to bring in will be their third showrunner. And the show's not only had, I think, less than 13 episodes, so that's not good. I think it was 10 episodes. So that I actually kind of like the show, but there's definitely some problems with it, apparently. So that's interesting alone. But then there's also the fact that Christopher Nolan, who's the director of Dark Knight, is supposed to be taking over at least the, I don't know, mentoring role. It's really interesting, this kind of role he's taking for Superman. What do you guys think about that?
Superman cannot go dark like Batman.
Yeah.
Cannot have some conflicting, like being corrupted. Because that's never been done. That shouldn't be done, actually. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. Because sure, that's just...
Alcoholic Superman.
That's from Superman 3.
Alcohol doesn't get...
alcoholic Superman was a dick.
Well, in Superman 3, they do that whole the kryptonite that's the fake kryptonite. Mm-hmm. And it has some tar in there. That's what the mystery ingredient was. And then he ends up splitting into like two people at the very end and fighting each other. But before that,
exactly,
he goes all like super angry, and that was actually kind of cool. But you can't do that. I mean, that was so
red kryptonite. Yeah,
yeah, it's like red kryptonite from Smallville. They do that too, and that's tough to do. You're right, because I mean, Superman's such an iconic figure that he's such a beacon of positivity and light, and it's hard to kind of mesh that together with the feeling and the the way that the Batman and the Dark Knight, especially the new series, has been shot, and the tone, it'd be really hard to match that tone with such a positive, uplifting, you know, they call him the Boy Scout and everything. You'd have to go somewhere. I could see them doing something with the Red Kryptonite, just to kind of, because I think that the way they use that in Smallville, I don't know if you guys watch Smallville, but the way that they use it in that show, at least in that first season they brought it in, I think it was like season 3, they really use that really well to create some conflict. I mean, he has his own conflicts and stuff throughout the show because he's a teenager trying to figure out what he wants to do. But to kind of add that kind of darkness to him, I thought was really cool, because I actually really liked him when he was on Red Kryptonite. He was pretty cool. He was a jerk, but he was cool. So I could see them doing something like that. I mean, they're probably going to reboot the entire series because they probably should have done that the first time with Superman Returns.
Right.
But they should probably just, I imagine they'll just kind of gloss over the introductory stuff. Because the one thing I hate about the original Superman was that they took way too long to get him to be Superman. it was so slow to begin with. So I think that they'll want to kind of gloss over, because everyone knows the basic concept. They just want to see him as Superman. So you probably gloss over.
That was the problem with the last one, Superman Returns. It's like everybody wants to see you as Superman. Mm-hmm. And we just had, instead, a movie with crappy CGI, and it was a waste.
I think there's some good moments. I mean, Superman Returns definitely had its problems. The fact that, you know, I didn't like the whole concept that they do the whole Returns thing, and then the whole him having a son, and it was really emotional, and, you know, it was a little moody. Kind of reminded me of Hulk, the original, the 2031. But, I mean, there was some cool stuff, and that whole plane sequence I thought was pretty cool. There was definitely some cool stuff in it. I mean, you saw where the technology was, because there hasn't been a Superman movie since the 80s. So, I mean, at least we got to see a little bit of the potential. You know, if you expand that plane scene out and some other, you know, and you kind of revolve a whole movie around that, the new CGI they're able to do. I mean,
but the new CGI that they did in this film, I'm sorry, but Christopher Reeves flying through the air looked more realistic than CGI Brandon Ralph.
CGI is very hard to do, though, in terms of
flying. I'm sure it is.
In terms of flying and making them look realistic, it's really tough. It's easier to put someone on a string and go, oh, that looks realistic, because it's an actual person. You see it all the time where, the best great example is in Matrix Reloaded, when they did that whole big fight sequence with where it's him fighting all those what's that guy, the bad guy's name? Mr. Anderson, that guy.
No, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith, yeah. That's what I'm saying, the guy who says Mr. Anderson. So when he fights all those Mr. Smiths, there's parts where it just looks completely fake, you know. And this is only, 2003, something like that? So, mm-hmm. I mean, just a couple years before Superman. So even in that, I mean, he was fighting and stuff, and it looks so fake. So, I mean, even, you know, it doesn't matter how big your movie is, especially around that time. They're starting to get to that point. I'm hoping this new Avatar technology can help make some really realistic stuff. Because everyone looks a little rubbery. And
as long as it doesn't cost, $300 million.
Well, now the technology exists. Well, Superman costs $200.
Now the technology exists, they can rebuild it. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Well, how much money did they spend actually inventing the technology is what I wonder.
The movie itself cost $300 or so million, but the, you know, development time, it's hard to tell. But the point is, that's not an issue anymore since it's already developed. So
we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
but you have to admit, the latest Superman stuff, it's getting more like comic book Superman, in which of all the unlimited stuff that a comic book has.
Yeah.
And really and truly, a exact transition from comic book to big screen, it wouldn't work. It really wouldn't, think about it.
Yes.
That's why they change a few things. And with the Superman thing, they're getting more comic booky, and that might be bad by overloading it with CGI and stuff.
Yeah, so I think you've got kind of different levels. Like, if you look at something like, say, X-Men, it's kind of aimed more at a sort of teenager upwards kind of level. It's not really like universal family friendly. And then you've got like Fantastic Four, or probably a bad example because I wasn't a good Fantastic Four, but say like Spider-Man. Yeah. You know, Spider-Man was a more universal sort of film, and I think the problem with Superman Returns was that it's more an adult film, and it dealt with like more sort of adult. I mean, a kid's never going to understand that little boy was Superman's boy. They're never going to get that.
It's actually kind of subtle for a kid, I can see that. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Superman's really supposed to be like universal. I mean, he's was reading something a couple years ago where they had like the top brands in the world, and like Superman's like the number one or something like that. I mean, the best well-known name or something. Like he's universal. You can't turn him that way.
Totally, yeah. So you see, if he's sort of done it in a Spider-Man sort of way, not a Dark Knight Batman type of way, because it's just too dark. It's not universal. Yep. Superman, yeah, it's like every little kid from 5 years old wants to be Superman. They don't want to be some billionaire reclusive person that goes out at night sort of thing. They totally need to make it sort of universal. And as much as I love Christopher Nolan and everything he's done, I don't see how he's going to pull it off. I just don't see it.
It's a tough character.
He's duping us. He's actually doing the Justice League right now. You watch.
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
He's tricking us.
But I mean, Superman, and I wrote this in my article about it, about this whole situation with Nolan, is that, I mean, Superman's been really, really hard to bring onto screen. I mean, the show, I mean, the original character was created in 1938. They didn't bring him to the big screen until 1978 or so. So, I mean, it took him 40 years just to bring him onto the big screen. And even then, I mean, for the time, it looked amazing. But, I mean, I personally think that you can definitely see the limitations of it. And then it took him another, you know, until 2006 to bring him on back again after the last movie in that original series. So it's – in the 90s, that had that whole fiasco with Kevin Smith and Tim Burton and Nicolas Cage and all that money they've wasted. It's just a really hard character to bring to the big screen because it is – there's so much CGI. You want to make it look good. It's a character that's very hard to do because he's not dark. He's not complex. He's almost an uninteresting character to a lot of people. And both the fact that he's just so positive, he doesn't really have a specific reason for doing what he's doing. You know, Batman, Spider-Man, they have like this dark past where that's like they want to, you know, kind of like a redemption, a revenge kind of thing. He doesn't really have that too much. I mean, yeah, his planet blew up, but you know, no one on Earth caused that unless you create some kind of link. And then the fact that he also, you know, he's so powerful, it makes kind of people, you know, Batman has weaknesses, you know, like regular weaknesses, even in Spider-Man. But Superman, his only weakness is kryptonite. So but otherwise, he's just super, super powerful. And it's hard for people to relate to that or to really, you know, to really feel for a guy who's like so powerful unless you put tons of kryptonite in the movie.
Well, actually, there are more weaknesses to Superman than most people think. Like, for one, he's not really useful in any other planet besides any other planet that has a yellow sun, so he doesn't last so long afterward.
You're talking about making movies in which he has to go away from the planet, and
which was that whole.
Well, but that's the thing. Superman is bigger than just Earth, and they are. I think they're more afraid to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they want to put in Brainiac
and all those people because, I mean, think about it. It'd be too much.
It's tough. It'd be tough to film that and to rein it into so it makes sense. But yeah, another weakness of his is magic, real magic, not like David Copperfield magic. But no. real magic, he's not able to combat. But you know, in terms of realisticness, I mean, it's like, you know, I could see why there's a lot of issues bringing him to the big screen. So we'll see. At the very least, this shows that they're trying. I know they have some issues with 2011. The rights are supposed to go to the descendants of the creators of Superman. So the issue is like, you know, they want to try to they're trying to negotiate some kind of deal with them, so they have to try to get this movie started. So in theory, they could take it away from Warner Brothers. I mean, in theory, you know, Warner Brothers does not have to be the owners of this. DC Comics, you know, all that stuff. They may not have Superman in a year or two, depending on what the owners do. I can't imagine that happening, but it's a possibility.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. They could be part of the Marvel universe. You never know.
Well, let me assure pretty much everyone right now, Superman and Batman and every other comic book movie, they will never go away because of all the material that they have. So they'll be here as long as movies will be going. So don't be afraid that, oh, we're not going to see Superman. Yeah, you will.
It just takes a while.
Of course.
You just gotta hope that it's good. You know, they're not gonna make. They don't want to make a Superman 4, you know, Quest for Peace. They don't want to make one of those. And I think they've shown by making Superman Returns and the problems with that movie and it, the not so good returns that it had. Hopefully they're starting to realize what people want to see out of Superman. You know, especially, I mean, no one had seen a Superman movie hadn't come out in over 20 years. You know, and that's what you come back with. I mean, although there's things I like about the movie, I agree with you, Scott. It's like, you know, that's the movie you're going to come back with after 20 years and all this new technology. It's kind of like, really? You know? So.
Really, there's a lot of Easter eggs. Huh? Go ahead.
Sorry, man. I was going to say, what I think is going to be more interesting is the dust up between if they get it right with Superman and if they get it right with Captain America. Uh-huh. I think that's going to be the real dust up. And I think Marvel keep churning out brilliant film after brilliant film. And I think Captain America is where it's at with Spirit. But that's my prediction.
Yeah, well, Marvel's just been doing things really, really well lately. I mean, there's been some talk about Disney actually buying out the other properties that Marvel has that are the movie rights are owned by some other studios, like, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men, things like that. There's been some talk about, since Disney now owns Marvel, they may actually try to buy out Sony, who owns Spider-Man, and, you know, try to buy the rights from them. So that'd be interesting to see if that were to happen. Because I'd like to see them be able to, you know, you'll never, until that happens, you won't see Spider-Man in a Iron Man movie or something, you know, because the different studios. So if they could buy him out, then you could really have some awesome integration. That'd be really cool to see. But, you know, who knows? Okay.
No, it's funny. They say they're going to make all these new comic book movies grittier and darker.
Yeah.
But Marvel just got bought by Disney.
So matter.
I have a little.
I don't think it matters. I mean, look at Surrogates. Surrogates is pretty dark.
And I know it's a niche company, but I mean, come on.
I just because they're not going to mess it up. It's just like, you know, you see this a lot of times where someone buys out someone else and they don't change anything because they, you know, you don't buy something that's doing well just to change it because then you're going to lose money. You want it to keep going. You just want to be part of it. So Disney's not going to do that. I mean, at the very worst, they'll probably make, you know, Mickey Mouse dolls that have Spider-Man costumes on. Like, that's like the worst they'll probably do. I can't imagine them messing with anything. You know, Marvel Studios still is the one actually doing the movies. You know, they're not going to mess with that. You know, they want to make money. They're not going to mess with it.
I was going to say, I think Disney's a lot more diverse than you realize. Remember, yeah. They had, like, Buena Vista and Miramax, and, you know, Miramax are responsible for so many Quentin Tarantino films. I think it's a much more diverse company than anyone ever gives it credit for. Just got their finger in a lot of different pies.
A lot of people think of them as, like, you know, the Disney parks, and they're a lot more than that. They're a lot more than Mickey Mouse. You know, I think Surrogates is probably the most recent best example of that, where whether you liked it or not, it's a pretty dark film. It's a pretty solemn film. So, you know, it's not as simple as you think it is.
Miramax isn't anymore, though.
Miramax is still with Disney. It's just that the Weinsteins aren't with them anymore. The Weinsteins left Disney, and they don't, but they didn't own the rights to Miramax, like the name and everything. So they have to. So Miramax stays with Disney, but then Weinstein has their own company now, which is who Quentin's been making movies for lately, but they still technically have Miramax. Whether that really means anything in terms of the quality of the films, I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, moving on. So last bit of Batman stuff. So there were the rumors of who would be in it, or like some of the plot points in terms of the Riddler, which has been around forever. But there's been some new stuff about that. Chris, you wrote the article about that. You want to talk about that a little bit real quick?
Yes. Well, pretty much this new stuff. Yes, I know the Riddler has been bashed repeatedly and you've seen all these fake posters, but now the Riddler looks a lot more darker with the new villains it's coming out with, like the Penguin. And you can't really see the Penguin in a Nolan film, but if he is, he's going to be crazy. And you back that up with the Riddler and the new Joker substance that he has. It will be much more impacting. And learning the identity of Batman, if the Riddler does do that, will be a whole new level that only some douchebag and and Raz, the actual trainer for him, has done. So that's actually bigger. That's pretty big. And you can get a good idea of how Batman 3 would be able to surpass the Dark Knight.
Yeah, they just got to be careful of the whole Spider-Man thing where Spider-Man 3 created a bunch of villains and it was a little, you know, like, what, three villains? It was a little too much. So, I mean, as long as they can juggle everything pretty well, the Riddler is always a great option, especially they can make the Riddler a lot more like the Zodiac Killer kind of thing where, you know, he's taunting the police, but he's very dark. You could do some really cool stuff with that.
But actually, have you noticed how three villains automatically gives you a reboot?
What do you mean?
Well, look at the latest Fantastic Four. That got a reboot, and there were three villains there, Galactus, Silver Surfer, and Doctor Doom. Look at Spider-Man 3. It got Venom, Sandman, and that other guy. It got a reboot. It's go get the Tim Burton films.
Because it messes up the movie. if you put too many villains in a movie, people are gonna be like, it's gonna make your movie suck. Then people are like, we need to reboot this shit. It's like, exactly. You know, that's pretty much how it works. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more problems with these films than just how many villains there were. Fantastic Four, great example. The last Batman movie before the new series, great example. It's not just how many villains you have; it's the cheesy lines and the horrible dialogue and the plot. It's just there's a lot more to it than just how many villains. But it's a good sign of your movie's trying to do way too much. and then the easy solution in Hollywood is always just to reboot something. That's like the easy.
Or pay the directors what they want, and then you wouldn't have the problem.
I don't know. I mean, that could be an argument for a couple of films, but for other ones, it's just, I don't know. Who directed the last Batman movie? Is Joel Schumacher, I think it was?
Yeah.
I mean, you just had some people in there that were just doing some crazy stuff. I mean, I don't think a budget was an issue with that last Batman movie. they went crazy with that film.
They were just afraid to go into Batman Beyond, and that's why they went to reboot the series. That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean,
that was the option.
It worked out the best, I think, for it, obviously. considering all the... The original series... I mean, the first movie was kind of cool with Tim Burton, and then it just went downhill after that. As much as I love Tommy Lee Jones playing Two-Face half of his face? I don't know. okay, so some other stuff... kind of go into a little more of the TV stuff now. Super Bowl was just a week or two ago. I don't even know anymore.
It was
a week ago. No, it was great. It was actually a really good Super Bowl. But there's a lot of ads. And I mean, what did you guys think of the ads? The ads is something where always become very viral, both before and after, because before you get a lot of you hear about the ads that didn't make it already, and then you actually see the ads and everyone talks about it and everything. So, I mean, let's start with Scott. What were some of your favorite ads, or what are some things that you noticed that you liked?
Well, I think too nowadays it gets to the point to where it used to be like the whole secrecy of the, you know, the ads, and now you hear about everybody saying, "Oh, I saw this ad today. Here it is on my site," and you know it kind of ruins it. Not that I, you know, was looking at them or anything, but this year, and you know, I say it, and I've heard a lot of people say it was lame for ads. There was nothing very good. I mean, I think I laughed at the guy that, you know, got a Dorito in his neck. And then the guy came around the corner. You know, I think that was about it. I may have chuckled a little bit with, you know, Betty White and stuff like that. But for the most part, I mean, nothing really, you know, wowed me like they used to.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree where there were not as good commercials this year. You had a couple mildly funny ones, and there was none of those ones where you really go, man, this is definitely Super Bowl caliber.
Right.
There was none of that. I mean, some of the best commercials, they even had listed them, were commercials that were already out. I mean, a lot of people were listing that Google ad.
That was great.
The whole Paris one. It's a really good ad, but it's been around for a couple of months. I mean, it's been all over the place. So, I mean, some of the best ads weren't even made for the Super Bowl. It's like, you think that people would step up their games. And you're watching these, and I'm just thinking, like, this is what you made for it?
Right.
I just wish Miller, because Miller's been doing some really good, their Miller Lite commercials have been really funny.
They've been good, yeah.
The Bud has been controlling Super Bowl, so that's probably why they couldn't get it.
And plus, you look at it too, as you got, you know, last year Super Bowl was, you know, pretty big for some trailers and stuff that came out. Like G.I. Joe was, you know, a big trailer that they came out with last year. Mm-hmm. And this year, the trailers were weak. The Robin Hood trailer was boring.
Exactly.
I think the only trailer that looked actually really decent was The Last Airbender. You know, and I don't know anything about that story, but visually, you know, it looks amazing.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just really weak. I was more interested in the game than anything else. So.
It's a good game, so I can see why. Ian, were you able to watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I watched the Super Bowl. It's on the good old BBC here.
Nice.
Unfortunately, because it's the BBC, they don't have any adverts.
That's what I figured.
So there wasn't a single advert. The one thing I did pick up on, maybe you guys picked up on it as well, or maybe you missed it because obviously you had the whole, you know, what ads are you going to see during the Super Bowl? But what I found more interesting was the popularity that an advert gets for being banned from the Super Bowl. Yep. And you think of it, it's a bit genius. Is you make an advert that's just a bit too much, a bit too controversial. It never gets shown at the Super Bowl, so you don't really have to pay the advertising at the Super Bowl, but you right. still get the same exposure, if not more. It's a brilliant concept. I'm surprised no one's really. Well, maybe they're totally banking on you know their commercial being banned. But yeah, that's what I noticed. That was the trend I noticed.
You actually wrote about that, because the GoDaddy commercials were like that, and then there's
originally they started out that way, and now they just do it for you know. On purpose. It's like you look at the GoDaddy's, it's like go to the site for more stuff and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
The Megan Fox commercial, go to the site to see what happens. You know, nothing. Yeah. It's you just see
that's the big thing.
Nothing. It's like the funny things were is, you know, you look at the little ads that they throw in for their shows when they show, you know, Barney from How I Met Your Mother and you know, the stands holding up an 877 number and you know, you call it and it's nothing, but at least it says you know, this is how many people watch our show kind of a deal, and this is how many more we can get. So.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a lot of popularity in that nowadays, especially with the internet, the popularity of making a banned commercial. I mean, I mentioned that in my articles about some of the recently banned ones. There's one for also a man-for-man dating site, and they had this thing where the guy was making out with another guy on a couch, and then there was another guy sitting next to him, all awkward. You know, you have those things where they, you're right, they deliberately make God. A ban. They deliberately make them, you know, these things crazy so that they get banned and they get a lot of exposure that way. Especially if you can't, like I said, if you can't afford, because it's what $2-3 million to put your commercial on the air for a Super Bowl. So you know, you make it supposedly for the commercial for the Super Bowl, but you don't, you know, you don't have the money for it. Yeah. So that say you make these things, and you make them too crazy to go on, then you know you're good to go.
Then you do the complete opposite, and you hype up the Tim Tebow commercial.
That thing was that bad.
It's all abortion, 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 and they don't say one thing about it, and he tackles his mother. It was a completely stupid, you know, useless commercial.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was the complete opposite. You make it seem like it's this horrible commercial that should be banned, and no one should speak their mind, and they don't actually do it, so.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad commercial just to begin with, but yeah, it was very vague in what they were trying to convey. Chris, is there anything you saw that you liked?
Oh, I'm anti-sports. You don't want my comments.
Oh, okay.
I hate sports, so you don't want...
Not even the Super Bowl? A lot of people hate sports and they watch the Super Bowl.
No, I don't even watch the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I'm weird like that. I'm an alien, remember?
This is true.
Well, and so one of the things that I mentioned on the site, too, is that one of the ads for Coca-Cola actually had... what's the guy's name? Michael Stolt. Yeah, he's Rob from Cloverfield. The guy's actual name escapes me now. I think it's like Michael Stahl David or something. And so he was actually in a commercial for Coke, and I was like, hey, there's Rob. You owe me $11.
Exactly. Good luck in Tanzania.
Exactly.
That was a horrible commercial, but it's one of those things to where it just was felt good to be like, hey, look, there's Rob.
Yeah, at least those guys are getting some work. Because, I mean, if you watch that movie and you were looking at all the characters, I mean, except, you know, Odette Yustman's gotten a role here or there, but the other guys haven't really gotten much out of that movie and in terms of more roles. And I saw Rob in some, like, it was like Numbers or one of those, you know, procedural shows. I saw him in an episode of that. But other than that, like, I haven't really seen these guys. So, you know,
Jason there, he's coming out in a new movie. I forget what it's called there. The one where they have scales, the dating scales.
The what's your score thing? And
yeah,
she's
like
out
that.
Of your league.
Oh, she's out of your
league. There you go. Yeah, he's in that. You know, he's been in a couple things. He was in a Horror Fest movie, I think, a year or two ago. So he's done
a lot of indie stuff. But yeah. So it was kind of cool to see someone. I mean, because it was the most watched Super Bowl ever with, what was it, 108 million or something?
Yeah.
It was the most watched most watched TV thing ever. Because it actually beat out MASH. MASH from the MASH finale was the most watched episode of ever. And so this actually beat it out. But
doesn't something beat MASH every year?
No. MASH has been the number one for the longest time. But
Friends not beat it, no?
Yeah, I think Friends did.
No, I'm pretty sure it didn't. Because I was listening to something and they said that MASH had held the record and now this did. So Friends was probably up there. But
what about the fight between Conan Colbert and the other guy, Jon Stewart? That wasn't big enough?
No.
What? No.
Are you sure? I don't know. I heard that was able to beat MASH.
No.
No, because that wasn't even known.
I don't know. Anyway, so moving on.
It broke down a town. Jeez. Okay.
Wait a minute. How did MASH manage to beat the moon landing? Really? I don't want to see Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. I want to see Hawkeye making a joke.
Well, no, it's every legendary. Time. The 80s was by the time the 80s came around, a lot more people had televisions. In 69, it was really hard to, televisions are really expensive still. You had maybe one per home. I mean, the great Back to the Future scene where, you know, he says he has two TVs and they're like looking at him like he's crazy because they're in the 50s. even in 60, the late 60s, it was still expensive to have a TV. So,
you should replay it.
Yeah.
Limited release.
There you go. So in the 80s, it was such a much more popular thing. I mean, cable was starting to come around and everything. So a lot more people had televisions and watched television. And plus, you know, you figure a lot of people were watching TVs in the 60s, like, you know, at places. Like at, I'm not sure what time it might have been prime time. I'm not sure when what time of the day it was. But, you know, people were at work or people were at, like, you know, they always show those scenes in movies where they have them in the stores. They have the TVs and everyone's on the street watching it. So I'm sure you got a lot more of that kind of stuff. I actually don't know. I'm just guessing. But I just know that the 80s, people probably watch more TV in the 80s than they did. Because the 80s was like the high time of ratings. Right.
You're right. I stand corrected. MASH is, you're right. And the second, of course, is JR. Who shot JR in Dallas? Dallas. Of course.
But I tell you, it's the 80s. I mean, that was the high time before nowadays. You know, there's so many channels, the ratings get diluted. But that was when TV was becoming really good and people were watching it, and it was before you had a tons of options. And so you had ratings back then where, you know, a repeat of one of your more popular episodes did better than, you know, a new episode of the highest rated show this, you know, nowadays. I mean, it was just a totally different time.
Yeah.
So speaking of TV, kind of going on. speaking of sports, let's skip over to the Olympics. I know that it's been 4 years since the last Winter Olympics, so it's interesting to see how technology changes. And nowadays, it's so easy to keep up with the Olympics, and some of the viral stuff. Like there was that the luge, the Olympian that died on the luge crash, and that video became viral, even though they weren't showing it a lot, you know, on the actual. To pay respects when they weren't showing it on the air.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a couple of those, you know, low-end channels that wanted to show it.
But. Yeah, but yeah, and so you can see it online, though, and stuff. So it's interesting to see how that's kind of stuff that, you know, that gets really popular, but, you know, now, and YouTube's come a long way since 2006 when the last Winter Olympics were on, so I'm sure you're going to see a lot more videos of stuff. I mean, I watched the Apollo Ono when he got the silver medal at the short track, and that was actually really exciting. I'm not a big Winter Olympics guy, but I watched that, and that was really exciting to watch. So hopefully we'll see some stuff for that. You know, you'll see a lot of viral videos coming out for that. Hopefully we won't see more, you know, death things. That's kind of scary that, you know, that whole issue is because the track was really fast, and so there were some concerns about it. And this guy fell off his luge just at the wrong moment where he ended up. It was unprotected area that he fell off into, and it was like poles and stuff, and pretty gruesome. But so people, of course, you know, morbid curiosity, people want to watch that. But yep. Interesting to see how they use the technology. I mean, NBC has some pretty. They have an iPhone app you can follow the Olympics on. It's really cool. I've used that a little bit, and I don't know why they're tape delayed. If you actually watch online on TV, I mean, their coverage is tape delayed. It's Pacific Coast time. It's not like over in Germany or something like that. It's like Pacific Coast time, yet they still tape delay it.
What do you think they're tape delaying it because of the accident?
No, I think they were already doing that. They had already planned to do that, I think. I don't think that, and that was only a practice run anyway. It wasn't even on the air.
Well, true, but if it happens in a practice run, it can happen anytime else, and they don't need that going on live television.
But I could see you doing like a 5-minute tape delay or something, you know, and so you can cut that out. But these things are like an hour or two tape delayed. I mean, that seems kind of pointless because then you can get the results. Some are even worse tape delayed. But you can get the results online. You know, like even on NBC.com, you can get the results, and yet you still want to watch it. Like they do that sometimes with basketball shows over here, at least on the West Coast. I'm not sure over there, but some of the when it's supposed to air on a local channel, they'll actually show it like an hour later, even though it's already on the air.
Right.
It's already happening. I'm like, what are you doing? So
and it's true too. I mean, just wanted to, you know, to go off of that area, but they have had a small amount of viral for the Olympics, and that was right before everything had started. Google's Street View was available on the mountain.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. I heard some of that.
So you could actually view the past and everything like that on the mountain, which was pretty decent. You know, it was cool.
Yeah, because I mean,
just switched up.
Yeah, and if you actually watch that stuff, like the luge and everything, those courses are very interesting. Like they wind around, they're really big, and it's hard to get a good scope of what it is. And so it's kind of cool to be able to really kind of get in there a little bit and watch that stuff. Do you guys watch the Olympics a lot over there in England or in Scotland?
I'm watching it just now, but only because it's 3 o'clock in the morning and there's not really much else to watch. I don't think we really bother with it. The main Olympics, yeah, but I don't ever remember us getting excited about the Winter Olympics ever. It's just, you know, maybe just me. It's just you know, it's World Cup year. That's what we're interested in, the World Cup, football World Cup.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So. You guys are more of a summer Olympics. I think everyone a little bit is, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I personally think some of the better sports are in the summer. I mean, you got basketball, you got a lot more interesting stuff. But you know, people love the figure skating, and I like watching the skeleton because that's cool. It's just people sliding down a big slide because it's just your body. And so I find that stuff really interesting. And then who doesn't love curling? It's ice shuffleboard.
anything?
Huh?
That needs a viral website of anything.
I know. That'd be so funny. They need to make it cooler. I mean, I actually, it's fun to watch. Like you said, at 3 a.m. I think the last Winter Olympics, whoever that was on late at night too. And I was watching that like at 2 a.m. watching curling. It's like it's very peaceful, you know, to watch that late at night.
Curling and tea, and then I'm sleeping.
Exactly. So yeah, I always find the Summer Olympics more exciting than the Winter Olympics. But I mean, some of the stuff this year has been pretty interesting. Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see the technologies, because, you know, the Olympics each season only happens every 4 years, so the technology is so different nowadays. I mean, YouTube was just coming into existence in 2006. I think
today's their birthday, isn't it?
Really? I'm not sure.
5 years or something like that?
Yeah, because I think they started in 2005, so it didn't really start becoming really popular until 2006. And so that's something where they actually had the Olympics right on the YouTube page. But so that's something where to see the technology change and how much easier it is to use the technology. You know, like I said, the iPhone apps. It's really interesting to see how they're going to do that. And Summer Olympics had a little bit of a jump start on that since they had 2008. But
yeah,
it's interesting to see where they'll go with that. Maybe they will become more viral for it. You know, they have to get more excitement for these, hopefully, for ratings. I'm not sure how well their Olympics ratings are every year, but, you know. It seems like everybody's ratings tend to go down, so they try to do more interesting things. Okay, so last bit of kind of regular news. The Office has had some updates. I actually haven't been watching it too much this season. I've been catching a little bit here and there, but I know that the company, the Dunder Mifflin, has actually been bought out by Saber, which is a printer-making company. And so they have their own site, sabercorp.com. It's pretty interesting. It has this really funny welcome video with Christian Slater, and it has the person that owns the company is Kathy Bates, so it's kind of cool to see her doing that. And then the Halperts, the Jim and Pam, are going to have a baby, so they have as an offshoot of their wedding site, they have a baby site, which they have like an ultrasound and some news. So it's kind of cool. They always do that kind of stuff with the websites. Have you been watching it at all, Scott?
I haven't seen it. You know, I feel bad, but I haven't watched it in a couple of years. So, I mean, obviously, I know the sites and stuff like that we post it, and, you know, I know the characters and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, I think the last time I watched it, you know, it was, you know, downstairs, down the hall from Dunder Mifflin and selling paper out of a van and all that kind of stuff. So, I haven't watched it in a long time, you know.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I mean, Ian over there, do you guys watch the original Office and not like this new Office, or what do you guys think of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, like we've got the American Office, but I think because we had the British Office. I mean, I've watched the British Office. I love the British Office, but I've never really bothered with the American one. Although it's pretty. I mean, like I every now and then it's on, and whenever I've caught it, it's been good. Steve Carell's brilliant, but is he still in it now?
Yeah, he's still in it.
Yeah, okay. So it's pretty good, but I think it's more of a cult thing over here, you know, more than like mainstream.
Yeah, you guys. It'd be interesting to see a viral for the British office, you know, because they do so much viral for the American office, although that's probably all through NBC. But you know, they should try to do something over there and in the whole, you know, UK area for the British office too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it only went on for the two series, and then they went on to do extras after that. I think that was pretty big in America, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So you guys, the office is not even on the air there anymore.
Yeah, no, it only lasts for two series, and two Christmas specials, and that was it.
I didn't realize that. I thought it lasted a little longer. Wow.
So there you go. You can pick it up now, and you'll be caught up in no time.
I know, really. Run it on DVD, real quick, boom, you're done. Have you guys seen any movies lately that we're talking about? I'll start by saying I saw Valentine's Day yesterday. I know. But I know you guys are all thinking. But it's actually cute, but it's not, you know, I wouldn't call it good necessarily. But, you know, there's a lot of stories in it. A movie that I watched that I actually didn't like is Love Actually. And it's kind of that same concept where, you know, it's love stories, but it's a bunch of different stories, and they all kind of connect a little bit in some either minute or big way. I don't know. It was cute. A lot of big celebrities in it, and a lot of. It was interesting to watch. It was cute. You know, it's one of those things you go, oh, at the end, but then you think about it and you're like, wait, that didn't make sense.
See, Chris, I told you got to be careful with what Dan watches.
I'm telling you. So I saw the Hannah Montana movie, and then here's my review, 3 pages.
No, I'm just very excited to watch The Crazies next week. So
yeah, that should definitely be good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming out next week?
Yep.
Next Friday.
26.
Yeah, next Friday it should be coming out. What about you, Ian?
I've not seen anything in a while. I've kind of been catching up with old stuff, which, funnily enough, we'll be talking about in this very viral cast soon, so I'll just keep quiet. Until then.
You've been catching up on Lost a little bit, right?
I have, yes. I was... Well, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. So I've got something to talk about.
Nice. All right. Scott, let's talk about the Boondock Saints contest we have going on.
Yes. Speaking of movies coming out in theaters, March 11th is basically a one-night, one-time showing of the original film. That was all based off of, you know, what we had called old school viral, the word of mouth, demanding it, which has basically done well for Paranormal Activity. So they put that out there. I mean, the original Demand It got their sequel nationwide, which was a good thing. So that was, you know, a big part of it. So they decided, let's do it again to get the original film in the theaters for the 10th anniversary. So again, it worked. The film will be out there on March 11th. At 7:30, I believe, is the showing at any theater it's in. And to basically celebrate that, if you go to our main site, we have a link on the sidebar, we have a link on the top, and of course we have an article which we are giving away autographed posters signed by the director-writer, Troy Duffy.
That's very cool.
And basically to enter, all you do is send a picture to contest@movieviral.com, and the picture needs to show your ticket stub for the March 11th showing, because we want to make sure that you're a fan and you get this nice piece of artwork to hang up. So take a look at the link and get a view of the poster that you can have hanging up next to your Jonas Brothers poster.
For people like me. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so definitely we'll have the link in the this post. Obviously, we have it featured on the site. It's also on the sidebar, so it's really hard for you to miss it. Definitely check that out if you're a fan of it. I still have to catch the original one as well as the sequel. So,
well, there you go. Buy your ticket and take your picture, but you're not eligible. I'm just like I'm not either, but it doesn't matter. So you can still. Get your tickets and send them in. So
yeah, totally. See, that was one of the things I caught up on. I watched it. Yesterday, in fact, yesterday, and wow, I loved it, and I got totally caught up in Scott's enthusiasm, and I think, honestly, and I think, you see, if you went to see it in a cinema with, you know, like 500 people that are as enthusiastic as Scott is about this film, you'll just get caught up in it, and it'll be one of the best things you've ever done in a cinema.
Well, what it's gonna, you know, it happens too is that it's one of those films that didn't, you know, it was more known in DVD sales than it was in theater releases.
Right.
I think back in 2006, they did a theater release, a limited theater release, but most people, I mean, like myself, I didn't see it in the theaters. I found it in a, you know, a DVD, you know, tucked away in a stack of other DVDs and watched it. So, and I think that's how most people find it, is it's just, it's always been a word of mouth film, you know?
Yeah.
You tell somebody about it and they watch it, but, you know, like Ian says, it really is, you know, an incredible film. So I'm very excited to be able to see it the way it was sent out. So.
Yeah. And it's good to see it in that kind of environment. Like we said, you know, you're with a bunch of other people who are obviously fans, because if you're going to the re-showing of it, you've either seen it or you're really excited to see it. You know, you're not just someone like, oh, I just want to, maybe I'll see it. It's like, chances are, if you're going to that screening, you're going because you really want to see it and you're possibly already a fan. So it definitely is a good environment.
And if you're not a fan and you haven't seen it, then go.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's just, it's
so... Well, I mean, you got that. I mean, the sequel's coming out on DVD March 9th. So, you know, that's, you know, it's one of those things to where...
Get yourself caught up.
You know, you got to see it. So just do it.
All right. I think that's pretty much it for us here. Thanks, everyone.
Lost.
Mm-hmm. Say what?
Lost.
We talked about Lost, didn't we? Oh, we skipped
it?
No.
Okay. Skipped it.
I'll cut this part out. So, Lost. Okay, so... that's a good point. I skipped it over for the Olympics, that's why. The Lost, obviously, last season, been promoting that big time with the whole concept of, you know, you'll find out all the answers. So far, not really, but we've got a few. A lot of stuff beforehand and right during, there's some artwork. They had done a showing for it, which was part of Paul Scheer's thing, where he had gotten some artists to do some really cool artwork. We mentioned on the site. And they've actually done some real-time videos, too. Some fans have done both the crash, the original crash, as well as just, like, them in the airport. And they actually did these, like, kind of real-time 24, the show-style things, which was really cool. So you actually see how it all looked in real time. And it kind of helps you out a little bit, too, when you're trying, because the show is so confusing. And so to anything that can help you kind of plan it out and understand things a little better is cool. So now they've gone through three episodes so far, two nights, because the first night is two episodes. So pretty good stuff. We've been reviewing it every week. We'll have another review tomorrow night by Corey. I don't know, Ian, I know you've been trying to catch up on Lost.
Yeah, totally. I totally got stuck in halfway through the second season. I think it went a bit slow, and I think everybody maybe noticed a bit of a lull there. But I caught up. I think it's three and a half seasons and 2 weeks, unfortunately, for my social life. I've caught right up now. So for anyone that, you know, maybe needed that push, I think season six, I think it's totally worth a push. If you haven't caught up, definitely go catch up and watch season six, because, you know, it's been a good start so far. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really liking it. I mean, it's still, again, they find these ways to kind of give you answers while still making you confused. But they're doing it really well. I mean, and I'm glad to hear that they're, I don't know how much it was delayed beforehand, but it's nice that at least they're showing the episodes the same week over there in the UK than they are this week, you know, over here. So it's kind of everyone kind of at least to a certain degree keep up together. Because, you know, it's this final season, you're trying to get all the answers, and you just keep waiting. For me, it's like, I've almost gotten to the point where I'm just, like, waiting. Like, come on, I just want the answers. I just want to know who's Jacob, like, you know, who are these people, and you know, why are they here, why is this happening? You know, the story, it kind of, you know, a lot of people, even after that first season, they were immediately like, I need to know the answers. But for me, I was always kind of just going along for the ride. But now this season, I'm finally starting to feel antsy. But, yeah, and I agree with you with that second week, too, the second season, I mean, they actually, it was kind of slow. So if you ever notice the ratings and stuff, you'll notice the ratings after the second season actually kind of dropped, because I think they kind of slowed it down because they weren't sure how long the show was going to go on for, so they were trying to create filler. And then, you know, then by season three, I think they had finally figured out how they were going to break, how they were going to end and everything. So they, you know, you could see it picking up a little bit. But it is actually kind of, I almost find it easier to watch it all back to back. I watched the first season back to back to catch up for the second season, and it makes it a lot easier. You kind of, everything kind of fits in the place a little better for you when you're trying to, you know, when they make references to other things, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, because it was part of that. So, but this season's been really good. I mean, you've been liking it?
I've been liking it so far. Or I can't quite figure out, is it the recession? Is that the reason why they've had to take half of the set from the Temple of Doom and build it around the Wipeout set? So they've got a big pool in the middle of a temple. It must be the recession. But yeah, anyway, so far, yeah, it's been pretty good. Have you been watching it as well, Chris?
Oh yes, I've been watching Lost since like the very beginning.
Very nice. What do you think?
Really? And you know what? Ian, the second season that you're in is probably, it is the slowest, and that's true. It has its problems, but it is probably the most important because it completely changes the view of the others and such, where the main characters that you've been following are really, they're the antagonists with all that they've been doing. They're actually the ones that are intruding and hampering what the others have been doing, which is supposedly good.
Controversial statement now.
Yeah, I know, it's true. I mean, there's so much where you're not sure, you know, who's really, you know, the good guys. Yeah, that's definitely an issue that's been there for the entire show. Is, you know, who's really the good guy, especially with Ben. I mean, that guy is such a good, he's a good actor that plays him, the lying that he's able to do and, like, manipulating. And it's cool to see it kind of switched around this season where now Locke, who's not really Locke, obviously, but he's kind of manipulating Ben. So it's definitely...
Shh! Don't forget that Ian's here.
No, he's caught up. So
I caught up?
He's caught up now.
You were so cruel. I thought, I have to watch the last three episodes so I don't miss out on anything. So, yeah, no, it's fine.
But yeah, I know. But, I mean, Scott, you don't watch the show, do you?
I do not.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where, you know, I feel bad.
But you're like, came in late or something?
Well, no, it's just that, you know, I look at that, like, I never watched X-Files. It was one of those things that I didn't start it. I'm not going to get caught up. I've got shows that I watch on a regular basis, so right. I can't add more.
And that's always an issue, yeah. Although I disagree with X-Files comparison, because I find X-Files to be a little bit more of a procedural. So you can actually, depending on what episode you happen to turn on, you can actually just kind of watch it whenever. But there are definitely episodes that are very mythology episodes, and then there's episodes you can just watch them just like a procedural. Whereas Lost is like every episode is part of the myth. So it's definitely one of those things, if you it's almost like if you didn't get it, you're like, look, I don't have time, I'm not going to catch up to it. And that was part of the problem. We had a lot of different shows, even this season with Flash Forward and V, where they're having some issues with ratings, is because there's all these shows, they've been doing it ever since Lost started, they're trying to copy Lost. And they're trying to make these really complicated mythology-based, you know, shows where they're trying to create this huge confusion, where you're trying to follow the puzzle. And, you know, people don't have time for that. It's hard enough. I already have Lost. I don't have time for these other ones. So it's one of those, I think it's a flawed template they're trying to use.
I was going to say one thing I don't understand, and maybe you guys can explain it because you're over there. But why is it that things like V and Flash Forward, they have a big break in the middle of them, so like people kind of forget about it or lose interest in it? Why does that happen? Do you know?
It's a newer thing, actually. You didn't used to have that, but you've gotten a lot more shows lately in the last couple of years where they're very, like I said, mythology based, or they're very direct, where you can't really do repeats because they're serial. They're very much, you know, you have to watch the whole thing. So, I mean, if you ever watched the first, if you ever followed the first season of Lost, you know, they did it the regular way where they had repeat episodes and stuff. But it's a combination of people get confused of whether it's a repeat or not. And then those ratings are just completely dismal. If you ever watched the ratings for Lost on a repeat, they're like not even worthy of cable. It's like they just don't repeat well. You know, shows like CSI, and, you know, they're procedurals, which means they have a distinctive story every episode. So they do really well on repeats and syndication, which is why you see so many different CSIs on cable, just like Law and Order, because they repeat very, very well. Lost does not. So shows like Lost and Heroes, things like that, they started realizing, like, look, we can't repeat these shows. We're going to lose money. so they do that. So what they do is they just kind of – they separate them. They kind of create a break, an artificial break, and they find some other content. Nowadays with reality, too, it's real easy to fill that spot with a reality show. That's that kind of combination of those two things, the fact that there's so many more of these serial shows that you can't repeat very well, and the fact that reality is so cheap and easy to make, they just fill that spot with reality. They've tried to do it in the past with real shows. That, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Daybreak. Like the second or third season of Lost, they did that, where they split they split up the show, and in the middle of it, they put this 13-episode series called Daybreak, which I actually kind of liked.
I loved it.
Yeah, I actually have it on DVD. I got it for $5 at Target. Yep. And it's, you know, it's just, it's one of those shows. It's kind of like Groundhog's Day, but with more of an action style concept. And it was really cool, but that didn't get good ratings either, though. And so they didn't even finish the run. And
They finished it on the web, actually. I think ABC put it on their site to finish it off.
Yeah, that was right when they started putting shows on the web. And I was actually watching the show only on the web. And so I was kind of okay. I was happy they finally put it back on. But yeah, so that, you know, they tried to do that. That didn't really work. So they just been putting all this crap reality shows in between. You know, Glee's doing that even. I don't even consider Glee to be too much of it. I mean, it kind of is a serial, I guess, too. So, but they're doing it with all these shows now. It's just easier because you can't repeat these shows. The ratings are just dismal. And it's especially in this economy.
Well, actually, then I gotta like disagree with everything about the serials that you can't repeat, because with a show like Lost, you have to watch it over and over again to get all the clues.
They're on the web, so
right,
that's where you watch it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna rewatch it, you're gonna watch it on the web, not there, because they're so random in terms of like what episodes they decide to repeat. Believe me, if you watch, and I followed this because I actually had to write a paper for it for school. You know, if you actually follow the first season, they did the repeats, and they were just completely trash. I mean, sure, it's nice for people to watch it if you can, and if you know what episode you need to catch up on, but it's so random what episodes they put in there. And it doesn't even matter. They don't care like whether you catch up with it, because it's such a small audience who has to do that without watching online now. So
yeah, if you're going to watch it over and over again to get caught up, you're going to do it on your own time.
Right, exactly.
You look at shows like, I mean, 24 is my show.
Yeah.
So you watch 24, you're not going to do a repeat, but every season before the new season starts, they replay the original, you know, the season prior to that. The last day of that, you know, season ends on a Sunday, and then boom, 24 starts the new season.
And they were the first shows that really kind of did it all at once. I mean, 24 now, I mean, they started doing it about a year or two ago, where it's just like they do all the episodes straight. And they even wait till January just because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's one of the things where they've started to realize that is you can't repeat these shows. So
totally.
Why bother?
Yeah, totally. And to be honest, like, that's what DVD was bought, for, you know, made for.
Exactly.
Every episode of 24 or every season of 24, I've watched it on TV and then I've went out and bought it on DVD because it's totally worth it, and you just watch it whenever you want to.
Oh yeah.
I find shows like 24 to be a lot better on DVD than to try to watch it every week or whatever. Like it's. I mean,
yeah,
I watched
like tonight. I missed it because of this. Viral cast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's DVR.
Yeah. So it's like with that, I mean, and plus people have DVR. I mean, there's so many reasons why it's completely pointless to repeat shows like this between DVD, DVR, online. You know, it's just they now have online like these little 2 minute like catch up things they put on there. You know, catch up to the latest episode in only 2.5 minutes or something. It's like it's completely pointless to do it. People aren't going to watch it because they're completely random what episodes they put on there. So you know you can't really catch up. Believe me, the ratings are just dismal. There's no they don't do it. But shows like you know you could repeat like now I think NCIS is like the biggest show right now, and so you know you could put a repeat of that on and it does better than everything else. Even if they're all new, that's how good some of these shows repeat when they're procedurals. So, but it's definitely show. I mean, look at Lost. This last season, they put the entire series online, so they know that people want to catch up to it, but they need to catch up in their own way. Everyone needs to catch up in their own.
It doesn't cost anything to put it online compared to you know putting it in public, you know, syndication and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you want to watch it on a small screen or go rent it.
Yeah, so there's so many more options nowadays. I mean, maybe, and that's why you've only seen it in the last 5 years or so, is because. You know, 5 years ago, it was a lot harder. You know, a lot less people had DVRs. You know, DVD sales weren't quite as popular as they are now. Online wasn't as popular as it is now. You know, 5 years ago, you almost had to repeat episodes, but nowadays you don't. That pretty much explains it.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short. Or should I say short story long? all right, now I think we're done. Did I miss anything else, Ian?
No. Sorry.
I'm just kidding. No, that's good. I'm glad. I totally forgot about that. So again, check the site for the Boondock Saints contest.
Yep.
And again, if you want to see that crazy thing that I got in the mail, it's really cool. It's in our featured things. Always keep, that's the big viral right now, so keep checking for updates on the viral. We have the viral page for it. Let us know. We'll give you credit if you find anything on any kind of viral, especially crazies, but any kind of viral, if you find anything, let us know.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. Again, this will be on iTunes, so you can listen to it then. Save it for on the go. Since we all, you like hearing our lovely voices all the time.
Yeah, totally. We're not late lost. You can just pick us up whenever you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if I'm not in it, I listen to it in my car.
There you go. But you just you only listen to yourself.
No. If I'm not, I don't want to hear myself. I know how bad I do.
Oh, no, you're very good. Don't worry. Anyway, all right, and that's it. So thanks everyone for doing.
Bye.
Bye.